All right, it's so good to see everybody tonight. If you would, let's stand as we worship the Lord.
Shout of praise tonight.
All the earth rejoice, for he It's himself in light. In darkness tries to hide. Trembles and his voice. Trembles and his voice. Every is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age, he stands. Time is in his hands. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son. The Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. You're the name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great.
Name above.
It's your name above all names. Worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God.
Hallelujah. Let's give him all the praise tonight. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. Oh, good, smiling faces. I love it. I love it. It's good to see you all here this afternoon. This will be it for our series on Serve. This is the fourth week, as promised. Over the last 3 weeks, we've seen that in week one, Jesus commanded us to serve. We looked at Mark 10. Week two, we saw that Jesus modeled humble service in John 13. And last week, in Matthew 14, we looked at how Jesus served even when it cost him. And we're going to continue on that theme tonight with the ultimate cost. Tonight we come to the heart of it all. The ultimate act of service that Jesus performed. Everything else we've studied has pointed to this place, and I imagine that most of y'all figured we'd get here when we started the Serve series. Serving is not just a command to follow. Serving is not an example to copy. Serving is not a cost to endure. Rather, in the end, serving is a reflection of what Jesus already did for us on the cross. Really, that's what our job is to do, is to be reflectors. Reflectors of Jesus' light. Reflectors of what he did, which is serve from the time that he arrived at earth to the time that he left. I can't remember if I used this illustration already, but I'm going to use it again. Have y'all seen Armageddon? We talked about that a little bit. You remember back early, like 1999, Bruce Willis, Armageddon, astronauts. Nobody has seen it. Y'all look like you've never seen the movie. A few people? Come on. The Aerosmith had the song. You know, I'm not singing again on Wednesday, but I got some nice letters about how beautiful that was. Just kidding. I didn't get any letters. So Bruce Willis' character stayed on the asteroid. Remember? Selfless sacrifice. He was going to stay on there to detonate the nuclear warhead so that it would break and fraction and the whole world would be saved because of his selfless sacrifice for mankind, right? That's what we saw there. And you know, and that's really good, and that kind of ties us to today a little bit. But here's where we separate, and I thought this was pretty neat. Bruce Willis did it because of a love for his family, a love for his co-workers and people that meant something to him. Jesus did it for the people that hated him too. And that's when you really think that you know, mounting a cross is bad enough, but staying up there because even the people that hated you, that spit on you, that did all those things, he thought it was worth it for them to stay up there as well. Pretty powerful stuff. Here's the lesson tonight. We serve because Jesus first served us. And tonight specifically, he served us by humbling himself to the cross of Calvary. If we're going to be moved by Jesus' ultimate act of service, then we must get over ourselves. I wrote this one for me, none of y'all. So don't think that I was thinking about anybody in here tonight. I was thinking about Philip. If I'm going to serve people, I got to get over myself. Look there in verse 5 of Philippians 2. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. I want to say this as a warning so that I don't want anybody to go down the wrong road. Unlike us, Jesus did not have to overcome his pride and his sin. That's us. That's humanity. That's not Jesus. Jesus did not have to get over himself. But as humans, unfortunately, we're under the law of sin, we're under the bondage of sin, and we do have to get over ourselves if we're going to serve like Jesus served. Paul tells us to have the same mind as Jesus Christ. Though he was God, he didn't cling to his rights. He emptied himself, not of being God, but of his privileges, and he took on the form of a servant. If the Son of God was willing to take off the robes of heaven and put on the rags of humanity, how can we think any act of service is beneath or below, but that both will work. How could anything be below us? How could anything be beneath us if Jesus was willing to do that? Y'all don't look happy. Are y'all okay? It's just kind of heavy? Okay, all right. Y'all looking a little angry tonight. I'm thinking it's not going well. This is not going well. Okay. I got two questions. If the Son of God was willing to take off the robes of heaven and put on the rags of humanity, how can we think of any act of service beneath us? Just think about that one second. He had it all and just laid it down and said, you know what, it's worth it. Are we willing to do the same thing on a daily basis? To lay something down to go and serve somebody else. It'll never be to the magnitude of what he laid down. But I'm not saying it's going to always be easy either. Second question. If we're not careful, can't we model the opposite of what Jesus modeled? But I sit here every Sunday. How could they think of sitting in my seat? Did they not know that although there's not a plaque, that this is Philip's seat? But I'm only off 2 days a week. Lord, I work Monday through Friday. I work hard. 8, 10 hours. How in the world could they ask me to do that on a Saturday? The audacity. I'm so much more intelligent than that. They know that I'm capable of more. How could they only ask for me to take out the trash? Pull the weeds out of the weed bed? Are you serious? Have they not heard of my ACT score of 33? The problem with it is sometimes we lose sight of how much hope that we can give people when we're willing to serve them where they're at. And it may be something that's beneath us. It may be something we're not even good at. But I think if we would look at how much hope we can give to people through being selfless servants, it would motivate us to do these things a little more often. How much hope does Jesus Christ give you right now? Just think about it for just a second. I hope it's a lot. For me, it's eternal life. For me, it's peace. For me, it's joy. How did he give me that hope? By serving me. And we can't give some of those big things to people, but we can give a lot to people if we're willing to serve them. And I think if we'll reflect upon that, how much hope that we might could give somebody, that maybe it would motivate us to do it a little more often. Especially in times when it's really difficult. Jesus knew that our hope came down to one thing. His service. His sinless sacrifice for us. You realize we wouldn't have it without it? Would we have any hope today without Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary? Simple answer. Esteemed writer C.S. Lewis once said, humility, listen to this. I thought this was really good. I wish I wrote it. This is good for me. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Wow. Did I hit anybody in here? No amens. That's fine. You ain't got to amen C.S. Lewis. But you see that it's not thinking that you're just a piece of junk. It's just stop thinking so much about yourself. Quit paying so much attention to you and what you want and start paying a little more attention to what other people want. Not easy. But it's exactly what Jesus modeled. Not clinging to his rights, but laying them aside for our sake is what he did. All right, here's some applications. Number one, serving starts with humility. True service asks, what rights am I willing to lay down so that I can serve and love others well? What am I willing to lay down? If we're going to serve like Jesus, we must first get over ourselves. All right, y'all love that one? We'll go to the second one. If we are going to be moved by Jesus' ultimate act of service, then we must embrace that Jesus obeyed unto death. If you love the first one, you're really going to love this one. We're just going to be honest with you. There's no easy way to preach this. There's no easy way to teach this. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus' humility didn't stop with taking on flesh. That was not where it ended. The humility continued. It led him to obedience, obedience that in the end cost him his life. Not just any death, not a simple death, but a very tortuous death on the cross. the most painful, shameful form of execution. What kind of obedience is this that Jesus showed us? It's obedience that says, not my will, but thy will. That's tough, isn't it? No, not tough for y'all. I mean, it's tough. It is. Not my will, but thy will. Whatever your will is, God. How often do we wake up and say that? Are you willing to say that? God, today is whatever you want. What if it looked like this day? Are we still boldly saying, not my will, but thy will? When they get the nails out and the whips, that's a whole other situation, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a quiz. Let's lighten the mood just a little bit. If this were a test with a grade, how would you be doing? Okay, I'm giving you 10 questions. There's 10 opportunities, and you've had them. So I don't know what they were, and that's good because I don't know any of these. But I guarantee you, over the probably pretty recent past, God has given you 10 opportunities to serve Him. God has given you 10 opportunities where you can say, not my will, but thy will, or you can say, no, not thy will, but my will. And over those last 10 opportunities, I would love to know how we did. It'd be real simple to grade it. If you did 9 out of 10, you got a 90. 80, 70, 60, okay, we're starting to fail, 50, 40. How would we have done? I don't know that I'd be going around telling you my test score. I would love to be able to tell you, man, I killed it, 100 out of 100. I all 10 times I told God, not my will, but thy will. But I'm afraid if he would call them to me, I don't know that I could give you the 10 out of 10. But isn't that the goal, though? It should be the goal, 10 out of 10. Not my will, but thy will. Jim Elliot and four other American missionaries traveled to Ecuador to evangelize or share Jesus, the indigenous Aka people. They're now called, are known as, and this is probably not how you say this, Wairani or Huarani. Nobody corrected me. I'm going to go with it, people. Despite knowing the risk, the tribe had a history of violence against anybody who tried to make contact with them. Anybody. They were not prejudiced. If you were outside, they had a problem with you. They sought to establish peaceful contact on January 8, 1956, and all five of them were killed by the Wairani warriors, as they thought that they would be. And all they wanted to do was share Jesus. They felt, without a doubt, they had a conviction that Jesus was calling them to share and evangelize with them, and it cost them their life. They just smoked them right there on the beach, killed all five of them. They knew the risk, but they obeyed anyway. Jim Elliot had written in his diary these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Their costly obedience mirrored the obedience of Christ. Just a selfless sacrifice, pure obedience, and it cost them their life. Sometimes serving God means obeying when it hurts. Sometimes it means obeying when it costs us something. And sometimes it means obeying when it doesn't even make sense to our human brains. If we're going to serve like Jesus, we must embrace that Jesus obeyed unto death. Y'all ready for the third section? Everybody's like, please get to the third section. All right. If we're going to be moved by Jesus' ultimate act of service, then we must strive for the glorification of God. Strive for the glorification of God. Our mission statement of our church is to glorify God. So this lines right up. Look at verse 9. "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Beautiful. Because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him. He humbled himself to death, and God exalted Jesus. He gave him the name above every name. And one day, God promises that every knee shall bow to him. Notice the order, though. Humility before honor. Cross before crown. Suffering before glory. It all came at a cost. We love our glory, don't we? It just seems like it comes natural. Y'all remember the Bible story of Haman and Mordecai? It's one of my favorites. I love it. Haman was like second to the king, I think, and he wanted to be right there in the king's pocket because the king had all the power. You know, he was buddy-buddy with the king. But the thing about Haman is he hated Mordecai. And Mordecai was just kind of in rags. He was out at the gate. Every time he walked by him, it made him mad. And so Haman was doing everything he could do to destroy Mordecai. But God's hand was on Mordecai in humility. Even so much that Mordecai discovered a coup where they were going to try to kill the king. And he just kind of slid it in there that, hey, look, they're trying to kill you. You may want to go, you know, eliminate these guys or they're going to kill you. And then didn't even want any credit for it. He was so humble, which is pretty awesome that you could do something like that without making a Facebook post like, save the king today, you know, something like that. But the climax is Haman has these sharp poles built. And when he gets in command, guess who he's going to have pummeled on the sharp pole? Mordecai. There ain't but one person that's going on that kebab. He cannot wait to put him on the skewer. But guess what happens? Guess who ends up on that skewer? Haman himself. And guess who gets to be right next to the king? Humble Mordecai. It's one of the greatest pictures of how humility wins in the end and how God's favor. Just stay true to God, and God will carry you through your humble service. Pride leads to fall, but humility leads to honor. Serving doesn't lead to our glory. It leads to God's glory. Serving isn't about making our own name known. It's about making His name known. When we truly serve like Jesus, people don't see us. Guess who they see? Him. The ultimate act of service. Tonight we've seen what it means to be moved by Jesus' ultimate act of service. First, we must get over ourselves. Jesus laid aside his rights, and so must we in many situations. Second, we must embrace that Jesus obeyed to the point of death. His obedience cost him everything, and our obedience may be costly too. Thirdly, we must strive for the glorification of God. Serving isn't about making our own name known. It's about making His name known. This is why Jesus' sacrifice is the foundation and fuel for all Christian service. We don't serve to earn God's love. We're not trying to get His attention. Hey, God, did you see me serve today? I did it. Did you see it? No. True service is, God's already paid us. Do you know where He paid us at? On the cross that day, He paid us in full. He don't owe us another thing. And so everything that we do now is with the right heart is just out of a love and admiration of what we've already received. Amen. We don't serve to earn God's love. We serve because we already have it. What about you? Are you serving out of, and I've done all of these, are you serving out of selfishness? Are you serving out of convenience? Are you serving out of a desire for recognition? I've been guilty of all those things. Or are you serving out of gratitude for what Christ has done for you? The cross reminds us that greatness comes through humility, obedience, and pointing everything back to God's glory. So here's the challenge for this week, and I guess going forward, since we're not going to have another time of challenge, we kind of had a challenge at the end of every week of this series. Going forward, let's serve in the light of the cross. Each week, each day, do something not for applause, not for convenience because it lays in the way, not for personal satisfaction, but because Jesus first served you. The next time you come to that opportunity for you to say, not my will, but thy will, and you're looking for, but, oh, I really don't want to do this. This is really below me, or this is really difficult, or, man, I really should be over there. If you're looking for that one motivation, all you have to do is reflect back on the cross. You've already been paid for it. In full. In abundance. Let me say that. We're not paid in full, we're paid in abundance. Amen? And so let that be our motivation. Christ has already done it. He's led the example. And let's just forevermore, we will have that example to be motivated by. And a love that we have for Jesus Christ to do those things that we're called to do. Those difficult times. For not my will, but thy will. We serve because Jesus first served us by humbling himself to the cross. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you've made for us, dear God. Thank you for time and time and time again that we've looked at your example. It's very clear you were the humble servant. Such a sacrifice, what you gave up to do that, to give us the only hope that we have. And I just thank you for the sacrifice that you did make so that we have that hope, dear God. And not only would I ask that you help us remember the hope that we have, but allow us to continue to be motivated by what you've done, by the example that you've set. And please help us to make an impact in this community and beyond for your name, for your glory, and no other reason. Please be with everybody tonight as they make their way home. Please keep them safe. And please, Lord, as we always ask, please make a way for us to gather again to worship you soon. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.